In 1 John, God gives us three tests that are pretty important to see how our heart is doing with Him. First test is, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to be the Savior of the world for your soul? That's like the test of belief. And then there's a test of obedience. Do you express your love for God by obeying Him? That's a big deal. So it's not just at the level of emotions. It is at the level of, I want to obey God because He has my heart. You know, His love has won me over. And then the third test is, do I love the people around me? That is the third test that's really concentrated on here in 1 John chapter 4. And so when I think back in my Christian life, really, the idea of love was a very intimidating experience for me. I have no idea why I was surrounded with enough love to pick it up, but something I didn't catch on as quite important. Even in my early Christian years, I could honestly say I don't think I loved too many people other than some star athletes that I thought were, you know, I should try to emulate. They're the only people I loved in my life. And not tragically, but awkwardly, I thought, I don't even know how to love myself. How in the world am I going to love anybody else, you know, or God Himself? Sure, He loves us, but it was the clumsy experience. It was the commandment I didn't feel good at. I could do the Sabbath. I could just stop working and go to church. I could do that one. I could try to honor mom and dad. I could not covet my neighbor's donkey. You know, that one, I'll pass that one. But this love thing, it's like, oh, I'm nuts, you know. This is way too hard for me, and I don't think I could do this at all. And so, but the Lord, of course, gives a message and gives Himself so that some measure of love can flow out of the believer to the others. And that's, if you're in that boat, well, this 1 John's for you. And so, recently, one big ministry had a book on love given away freely, God Loves You, Always Has, Always Will, by David Jeremiah. Title chapters, good title chapters. God's love changes everything. Okay, let that impact you. God loved you before you were born. I like that, so nothing in you that says, oh, He's obeying me, I'll love Him now, or whatever, before we're born. God's love never quits, keeps after. God's love never lets you go. God's love wants you with Him forever. That's powerful. Okay, all that. And so the book proclaims God's love as a top theme in the Bible. If you did to do word studies occasionally. Love is mentioned in the Bible 550 times. Only Jesus, only the word Lord, only God, and only heaven is mentioned more than love. Okay? So it's a top fiver. Just to compare apples to apples, 550 times love, faith, 250 times. You know how important faith is. Not half of what love is. Okay? Something about love. Hell, sobering truth, needs to be known. 54 times compared to 550 times. God loves us to get us out of hell. Okay? He sends His Son. So you gotta, do the word study on your themes and you'll get the emphasis of the majors of the Christian faith. Love is number one in terms of God relating to fallen humanity. He so loved the world. And take a risk here. My friend, Pastor Jim did this, and it's not gonna come off as good as he did it, but here I am. Not to give you an Excedrin headache, but in the Bible, in a key part, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, I'm going to speak to you in the tongues of men and angels. I'm going to tell you about God. I'm going to do it in Greek, Hebrew, and the language of angels, okay? And you better know that you turn to God, please. And, you know, he I don't think He likes you, but He might love you. And, okay, that's what you call clanging cymbals. This is what we sound like when we don't love with the love of Christ. And you might say, that sounds like you every week. But hopefully not the case. But so there you go. Without the love of God, we don't get the message across that we're supposed to get across. The world will get confused about what we say. The world will get lost in Luke's gospel. The world won't know where the Psalms are. But the world will understand what love is. When you show them God's love, they'll understand. Okay, that door will open for the truth of the Bible. And when love is present, the invisible God is made visible to the world. Message of 1 John. We love because God's nature is love. Okay? Anybody who loves is born of God, 1 John says. And so remember that 550 strong, I can't remember what it was in John's Gospel, about, or 1 John, about 50 times or so. Love has been called the life pulse of the believer or of the church. Dr. Jesus checks our pulse. It's strong. It's steady. It's expressed. Love is there. There's health. Dr. Jesus checks the pulse. It's weak. Not much love. There's no pulse. There's no love. That one's dead. Okay. Not life there. And so, the love of God, very important. Often minimized, both in the first century and throughout church history. Lost in the shuffle of other concerns that believers have to show a bit of mercy. Here was the false teaching that John was writing against, Gnostic false teaching. Gnostic meaning to know. So John really hits people where the concern is. He mentions the phrase, you know and we know. Hey, everybody, you know and we know. Does that 25 times in his first letter. So the false teaching to be aware of, bad back then, bad today. Spirit is all good, physical is all bad. The Bible teaches spirit's all good, physical is all good, but in need of redemption. Physical, all good. The risk of the illustration, but I think it drives it home. Take the gift of sexuality. Often we tell the young people, you know, sex is, hey, young people, sex is bad, sex is immoral, sex is dirty, and really you should only have it with one person who you really love later in life. Okay. The person says, well, what? What? Okay. You see problems before marriage and problems after marriage when that message is given. Physical bad. The physical good under the good direction and redemption of God. Gnostics taught secret spirit knowledge is the key to salvation. What you know is the most important thing. The Bible says that God's love is greater than knowledge. Okay, so if I have a choice of knowing more information or showing love, there's no contest. To show love is the priority of the Lord. Okay? Remember that. Very important. Began to be minimized in the early church. Spirit knowledge lifts you above all sin. Okay, John speaks against this when he says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. The truth is not in you. The knowledge that I'm broken and I need God's help. I'm a rebel and I need God's salvation. Comes against the culture and what was taught back then. Last one, secret spirit knowledge is only for the elite. This is like a caste system in Christianity. If you know a lot, you're kind of a cut above those who don't know. So throughout 1 John, John says, you know. We know. We all know. Okay? There's a salvation gives you equal footing with everybody. Interesting, only one time in the Bible is the word carnal Christian used, and it was when, in 1 Corinthians, when people began to say, Apollo's disciples were better than Peter's disciples. And Peter says, no, we're better than them, and we're better than Paul's disciples, and Paul's disciples are better than... Okay, and Paul said, yeah, that's good, you're interested in who knows the most. Now he said, no, that's carnal. So as soon as you try to get an elite system in the body of Christ, that is what Paul said, divisive and carnal. Okay, so you want to guard that in your own heart, even though you and I do have favorite Bible teachers and so forth. Secret spirit knowledge shown in some cult, Scientology in particular. Take these courses and you advance. in closeness to God. You don't want to get into that as a believer. You want to take the Bible to know the love of Christ and to follow in that manner. So Hinduism also leans in this Gnostic direction. Now, good things that happen when John encourages the people. He says, hey, we know. We have come to know Him if we obey His commands. So to walk with God, that's the most important thing. Okay, not just a secret knowledge. This is how we know. That's everybody. See, the we know is everybody. That we are in Him. Walk as Jesus did. So again, it's a how we live is the most important part of the Christian life after we trust Christ. We walk with Him. Walk as Jesus did. Glad, affectionate obedience. Here's some all of you know kind of things again. The change, the love. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. Okay, who has the anointing in the passage? Who has the anointing? John and Paul. Right? Yes, plus everybody else. Who has the anointing? We're thankful. I think the anointing was expressed in the singers, the piano, and also you in the pew who were the quiet one and just sat and said, I love God. We all know. We all have the anointing. So, again, get away from the elite system of the guy preached a good sermon. He has the anointing. You went home and didn't do anything. You didn't have the anointing. That's the teaching of men. Teaching God, everybody has the Holy Spirit. Everybody has the anointing. Go with the Bible over and against the teaching of men. Perhaps they mean well. Perhaps they're excited to mention that word anointing. But the anointing is what? You. You baby Christian, you brothers, you children, you fathers, all those maturity levels of the Christian life mentioned in John for you and for every believer. So you have the ability to love, in other words. Okay, you have the anointing. And then, getting to the love part. We know we pass from death to life because we love our brothers. Now, that, again, that's leaning on Jesus for this. We know this. We're sure about this, that I'm a follower of Jesus because I have this love for people that I just didn't have before. Okay? That's a test sign that we want to take from our soul. Lord, do I love other people? Yes, but I need your help. We've passed from death to life. And I've already said Jesus is my Savior. The other one, let's not just love in words or tongue, but actions and truth. This is how we know we belong to the truth. Okay, again, that test, practical love toward others. I want to, everyone matters. And then we know and rely on the love God has for us. He's the fuel. We do love because He first loved us, and God's love for people fuels your love for people. It's He's a source that we could put into action. And now some practical things in closing. Part of my motive, though, I do confess when we were not, we didn't have church on Wednesday, so I said, well, that's an iron missed, so I don't know. We won't go till 1 o'clock, Make up for that. No. But I thought of that. A nasty person. Okay. Love in actions and in truth. How can we show love the way God loved us? One very practical way, which we've sung about, is to listen to other people. Hear their heart. The most challenging. This probably wouldn't get in your top five, but the way God loves us, of course, He listens to us. No other friend so quick to hear as Jesus, my Savior. We sang that. No other friend so quick to hear. So if you're able to hear somebody, what are they thinking? What are they feeling? Are they excited or are they crushed? When you take the time to do that, that is very, very loving. James chapter 1. Let everybody be quick to listen. When you take time to listen to somebody, you show they're of great worth and value, and you show respect. If you don't respect or value them, you're not going to listen to them. And this really comes in good when we're trying to relate to the lost world. And they say, you know, I believe in evolution, I believe in no God, and I don't like Christians or the Bible. You should be able to listen to that, you and I, because God hears. God hears the heart. Oh, I see what you're saying. You know, you're saying life doesn't make sense. Can I share with you how God has shown me something else? If you listen to them, they'll say, this Christian loves me. And then you'll share the love of Christ in the gospel with them. Listening is a big deal. Second thing that you could show to your dearest loved one, your Christian brother, your neighbor, your spouse, unconditional love and acceptance. Acceptance without condemnation. This is the approach Jesus had with broken sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. John 3:17. Anybody who comes to Jesus, he will in no way push away. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what they've done. They come to Jesus, he will not push them away. If they come to church, we will not push them away. Okay? This is the love of God that we've experienced. He didn't push us away. So we're not going to push anybody away. We're going to love towards the truth and love of Christ. It's a powerful thing, and to practice it with your own family is a wonderful adventure. And again, you'll sweat and we'll learn to do this. Gary Chapman, Love in Action and Truth in Relationships. About 50 couples got married in our church in the past decade or so when we did the premarital counseling. Okay, ask the 50 couples, take these signs of love, these love languages. Tell me what is most important in order. This is the order all the 50 picked. I know you'll love me if you spend a little bit of time with me. You know, time more than a text, more than a Facebook, more than an email. Love. Number two, touch. You got to touch me either certainly appropriately, but if not physically, you know, eye to eye, smile to smile, non-verbally, prayer-wise, some concrete way. This is what Jesus did. When he loved, he didn't say, I'm not going to touch anybody, but I will die on the cross for you. Okay? No, he was here, have the bread, have the cup, bring the children. You know, you could clean my feet if you want to with your hair. Appropriate love of God. And that'll happen. Affirm with words. You look great, etc. Serve. I want to help my loved one. What can I do to help them? And then gifts last. This is a trap for Valentine's Day, okay, guys. Gifts last. Okay, all year I didn't spend time with my spouse, didn't give her a hug, and talk to her, you know, didn't serve her, do the dishes, I'm too busy. But I say, I got 2 dozen roses coming your way. Does this make it okay? Does this make it good? You know? She says, I need all the 5. Yeah. I need the first couple, please, to love. Love one another as I have loved you, said Jesus. And then to be faithful, God's love never leaves. It's sacrificial. Glad to do. Love does. We talked about caregiving, you know. You can go to the best... this is not a commentary on the ministries. You can go to send your child to the best preschool ever. Or send them to the best physical rehab ever, as we've been through as a family. And they will do good. But they will not love your loved one like you do. No way. Not even close. Okay. So there's something about your love that's going to serve well. It's going to bring healing. Keep that in your values. Four other ways, and closing in prayer. To love, work on God changing you, not the other person. So you're a more loving person because you've dealt with the truth of your own brokenness. Ask Jesus to take the plank out of your eye before you take the speck out of your brother's. If you change and let God change you, believe me, the other person will be so blessed, they'll start to change. But you and I, our job is not to change the guy beside us. Scary thought. It's God's job. Our job is not to change the lost guy. It's God's job. Our job is to let God change us. And then we'll love the right way. And if change happens, that's between them and the Lord. Okay? So let God change us. That's a big deal. Tell of Jesus and His love. How great to say, well, Jesus can help you, my friend, my loved one, my spouse, my child. God makes His appeal through us, makes an impact. Jesus gave His life for you. You're important to Him. He rose from the dead. You know, your 90 years plus is not all about you. You have a bright future with the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Tell of your joys and sorrows and pains. Open your heart. You know, you don't have to make it all about you, but say, this is what I'm experiencing, and this is how God has helped me. And then, Jesus called this the summary of the law and the prophets. I was a little rough on this one in the first sermon, so I'll tone it down. Often this commandment has been looked at as like the candy-coated Christianity, you know, when we don't know what to say, we say, treat others like you want to be treated. Do to others like you'd want them to do for you. And we all go, you know, where's the cross? Where's the resurrection? Where's the judgment? Where's the wrath? Where's the creation? Which preacher said this? Jesus said this. Okay. Jesus didn't candy coat anything. In fact, if you live this way, do to others like you want others to do to you, you're going to work up a sweat every day. Believe me. You're going to have calluses on your hands and feet. Your calendar is going to be filled with stuff to do on behalf of others because you're going to be deciding to say, I'm going to walk in the ways of the law and the prophets. All of them. And Jesus says, here's a focus that you could do. Treat your dear spouse like you want to be treated. Your son or your daughter, your Christian brother or sister, your lost guy, friend. Treat him like you want to be treated, and the door will open for the love of Christ. And what a thing to be loved, you know. I'll say this. At the level of my emotions, I still need to receive God's love. I know it here. I know it in my heart when it comes to heaven and hell. But I don't always feel buoyed by the love of God. I don't think He expects that. But I do want to live like you're loved, as an old song says, not too old. It's okay to live like you're loved. It'll make a big difference. And God will help you. And ask God to help us love in actions and in truth. It's freedom lived out. Okay, it's the truth lived out. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for each dear person here. Christ's love compels us. Your love has been poured out into our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. So we don't have a lack at all from Your end, Lord. We just need to learn to put it into simple actions toward others. And we've got a long way to go, but Jesus, you're patient. And we'll be more loving as time goes on. We're thankful. So we start with saying, Lord, we love You back, and we do so by loving the people around us. Thank You, Lord. An old preacher said, which I'll share it after the amen, in Your name, amen. I share two things. An old preacher said, you know, about our love for other people. What would you rather have if you're a parent? What would you rather have? People love you or people love your children? The answer is children. Right? You'd rather have people love your children than just say, I love you, sir. I give a hoot about your children. So when it comes to the Lord, saying we love Him is important, but loving His children That's what he's really after, isn't it? He's saying, do that. Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, love my sheep. And we're thankful. One family I wanted to include in the introductions, which I did not do, with Patrick Ewing, thank the Lord for Becky, his dear wife, Ashley, and Andrew, two dear children who bless and love the other kiddos. And Becky has a heart of compassion for folk. Just wanted to mention them, because Patrick stood up here like he was, his family wasn't around or something. But they're in here as much as he is.